at Whitney and get refreshed spiritually and just a lot of tremendous ministry. And so it's great to be back, though, and a special thanks to David and Jody, who filled in wonderfully for us while we were gone, as they always do with the ministry of worship and the Word. And praise God, we're blessed to be able to do that. And so thank you, guys. Appreciate it. This morning, we're going to go ahead and take a look at a passage of Scripture in Matthew where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he challenges them on some things that are pretty amazing. This is definitely, you know, natural man does not think this way. But Jesus was not just a natural man. He was 100% God, 100% man. And he came here to show us how to live, how to live by faith. And this is one of the powerful passages of Scripture that he instructs his disciples along these lines. He says, Matthew chapter 26, verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus tells us over and over and over something. Verse 25, do not worry about your life. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Therefore, verse 31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? And therefore, verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble. Very powerful passage of Scripture, and we can see four direct commands from our Lord to not worry. To not worry. Again, this was not written to natural men living in a natural world. I'll tell you what, if you're not born again, if you're not saved, if you're just a natural man living in a natural world, if you're without hope and without God in the world, you have much cause and reason to worry. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to children of God here, ultimately. And he is saying, do not worry. Do not worry. You know, this command from the Lord, when I've looked at it, I'm just kind of talking about myself and just kind of working through my own salvation and growing up spiritually in different areas. This one, this command of do not worry, it's kind of like the command of forgive others, even as your Father in heaven has forgiven you. It's one of those commands that at first you kind of feel sorry for yourself for having to do it, because you know it's going to require faith. But after you think about it for a while, you're kind of glad it's that way. It's like, yeah, I have to forgive. I know I have to forgive. But aren't you glad he didn't say, be bitter, be seething, raging, mad, be beside yourself. It's up to you. Revengeance is yours, says the Lord. You must repay. You have to be. It's like, well, I'm glad I don't have to live like that. Even though my flesh feels that way, it's like, I'm glad I don't have that responsibility. No. Forgiveness, that's great. Praise God. Okay, yes, I realize I got to forgive, but you know what? That's going to make for peace, ultimately. Even as he has forgiven me. I'm glad it's not a command of strife and anger and hatred and rage and bitterness. I'm glad the command is forgive, even though it takes faith to do it. Same way with this. Do not worry. Oh, yeah, I know I'm not supposed to worry. Well, on the other hand, aren't you kind of glad it's that way? Aren't you glad he doesn't say, yes, worry. Be afraid. Be very afraid. You know, well, praise God, that isn't it. You know, and yes, it takes faith to not worry, but praise God, that's the way it is. You know, again, after we get over ourselves a little bit, feeling sorry for ourselves for having to do this, we realize, hey, you know what? This is the right way to live. This is the way I want to live. I don't want to live in bitterness, and I don't want to live in fear. And yes, it takes faith to forgive, and yes, it takes faith to not worry, but I'm here to walk by faith and live by faith. It's the way he designed me to live. And both of those things make for peace in our life. And as you look at the word worry, you can really interchange. You kind of do a Greek study on worry and care. You can really interchange the two. They are used interchangeably. There's really kind of two forms in different tenses, merimnao and then merimna. I mean, they both basically mean the same thing, to be anxious about, to have care, or to take thought. Okay? I like that last one, to take thought. Worry and care, it's an act of taking thought. You know, the devil, the enemy, cannot force you to think about something. What he can do is he can come alongside and he can suggest thoughts. And then as you get the suggestion, you've got to decide. Am I going to take the thought or am I going to reject the thought? So when he comes by with his hypothetical and you decide, no, no way, you've rejected the thought. When you look at it and go, yeah, I could see that. Yeah. You're in the act of taking the thought. That's merimnao. When you're choosing to take the thought. You're choosing to worry. You're choosing to engage it. Now it's not just a suggestion. It's yours. This is mine. I am taking it. You know, Satan is that way. When I used to work at Hardee's, and we always had these little cards, you know, when we worked the cash registers. I didn't work the cash registers a lot, but when I did, I'd see a little sign there. They always say, we could see it, the customer couldn't see it, always say, do you want fries with that? And so when you're taking the order, say, do you want fries with that? It's called suggestive selling. And that's what Satan does. He's a suggestive seller. And you might pass on his 900 suggestions, but if he can get you to bite on the 901th suggestion, you know, it's kind of like baiting that hook, you know? And I've done that before. Even when I'm at the dock, I'll bait the hook with a great big juicy worm, and I'll put it down there, and I think, wow, I'm going to definitely get a fish. And I'll see the fish's nose squared up there, and he'll just, bing, take right off. I think, wow, he was smart. He rejected the bait. And other ones, it'll get it, and you pull them, and you get them in. You know, but that's kind of what he'll do when he'll suggest thoughts. It's like bait that you've got to decide to either take the bait or not take the bait. Worry is nothing more than you taking thought. We talked about this before, the origin of thoughts. You don't think up all this stuff. There's a bunch of inputs that come at you regarding thoughts. There is the law of sin and death that wars against your mind. You're in one of these bodies that's dying for a reason because it's been corrupted by sin. And you can look at the works of the flesh. And there's a reason why it's dying. And you've got those works of the flesh, the law of sin and death in your members, if you want to get technical about it, that wars against the law of your mind. It's a spiritual law that wars against the law of your mind. And thank God you can put to death the deeds of the body, but it's an input. The Bible says the enemy goes about as a roaring lion. It's not an audible roar. These are thoughts that will come to you. So you realize that you've got thoughts. And basically, worry is simply the act of taking the thought, owning it, identifying, believing it. All right? And this is where Jesus is saying, don't worry. Don't worry about these things. Why is it important when it comes to worry, cares, to be free from worry? Here's the big one. And we kind of talked about this 2 weeks ago when we were here before, talking about your purpose in life is to bear fruit, right? Well, here's the power of the enemy when he can get you to worry. He says, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. You know, one of the things you're really down here to do, ultimately, it's to bear fruit for God. To bear fruit for the kingdom of God. To walk in those good works he's ordained you to walk in. You're his workmanship. And when you're walking in the good works he's ordained you to walk in, you're bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. What the enemy wants you to do is not bear fruit. And worry and cares, again, the cares of the world, it chokes the word, causes you to become unfruitful. Because as you're contemplating those thoughts, it's choking your mind off from the word of God, from the thoughts of his word, faith. And so that's the design behind the enemy when he's trying to get you to worry. So this morning I want to talk about casting your cares upon the Lord. As we do, we're going to make some important distinctions. First of all, it's very important to realize that Jesus promised us that in this world you will have tribulation. It's not a sign of a lack of faith if you're, you know, that you're going through stuff down here, that you have things that are coming at you, that you have temptations. We live in a place where we've got our fallen flesh, the world, and the devil. The Bible says we're wrestling against powers and principalities. The law of sin and death is warring against the law of the mind. There's a war, there's a wrestling, there's stuff going on. So it's natural and normal for you to experience cares, to experience those suggestive thoughts to get you down. There is nothing, you know, ministers aren't excluded. Nobody on this planet is excluded. You know, that'd be great if you could find some demographic or category, but no, everybody. Anybody who's a human being on this planet is a very powerful, special, important person made in the image of God. And you're going to experience things, Jesus said, tribulation in this world. And so before we talk about casting your cares on the Lord, I want to make a distinction in the fact that, you know, because I've heard this before, I've heard people talk about, you know, just kind of let go, let God, and just it's all going to be all right. And, you know, kind of a little $5 phrase to kind of slap something on you and just make you feel like it's okay. And I remember doing this. I remember casting the cares on the Lord, hearing about that for the first time, and saying, okay, I just cast that care over on you, God. And, you know, all of a sudden I just kind of thought, well, that's kind of cool. You know, and about 30 seconds later, you got it again. And you're carrying it again. But you're thinking, how can you really cast your cares over on the Lord and make them stick? In other words, I understand the dynamic of what happens here, kind of behind the scenes. We're looking a little under the hood about worry. What happens in reality? What happens in reality is you're suggested a thought, you take the thought, and then you begin to meditate on that thought. Then it becomes a care, it becomes a worry. Now you've got it. How do I effectively, in real life, cast my care on the Lord to where it actually stays there, to where it actually sticks, to where I'm actually free? That's really what I want to talk about this morning. We can cast our cares on the Lord. This is God's design. It is God's plan. And it's important to understand, too, that we're going to be talking about some very specific things. When I say cast your cares on the Lord, I'm not talking about just doing nothing. I'm not talking about just kind of a, you know, an escapism or, you know, being lazy or just kind of pretend like it doesn't exist. That's not casting your cares on the Lord. Pretending like the problem doesn't exist. That's denial. And you know what? We're not called to denial as Christians. In fact, we're the most, man, we are the most confrontational people in the planet as Christians than anyone, because the Bible says that you are to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You're confronting things at the thought level. And part of what we're going to be talking about and how you cast your cares on the Lord, that'll come into play. So we're not talking about denial here, casting, you know, because obviously the world can do that. You know, just go and, you know, whatever, you know, take something, you know, to get high or do something like that. You know, you come off the high, the problem's still there. Not only do you come off the high with the problem still there, but now you got an addiction you got to deal with on top of the problem that's still there. So you got all these layers and things that you know. So, I mean, everybody in the world knows how to do that. The world knows denial. A lot of times the world kind of point an accusing finger at the church and say you're using God as a crutch. Well, they'll reach for whatever thing they're using, you know. But the fact of the matter is God's real. Two things about faith. You got to believe God is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you're casting your cares on the Lord, one of the things you're going to believe is he is. He is. He is. This is not a mind game. God is real. And I'm going to be casting my cares in the Lord. So we're talking about casting our cares in the Lord. We're not talking about not doing nothing. We're not talking about an escapism. We're talking about casting your responsibility over on the Lord. No, if you got to go to work in the morning, you got to go to work, all right? You know, you don't cast the care of the responsibilities that God has given you. You still have to be responsible, all those kind of things. So when we're talking about casting the care over on the Lord, I just kind of want to qualify some things. We're not talking about that stuff. We're not talking about a denial or shirking responsibility. But we are talking about something very specific. And it's about the thing, like I said, when the enemy suggests a thought, he dresses it up, and you look at it, and you decide not to reject it but to accept it, you bite the worm, you get the hook, don't you? Pretty soon you're getting wig-wagged by that care. How do you get that hook out of your mouth? How do you get to where you're free and you're a free swimming little fish and that thing doesn't have the hook in you anymore? There is a way to get the hook out. And when we're talking about cares, when we're talking about stuff like that, we're really talking about a form of fear, aren't we? Because fear has torment. Sometimes people ask me, how do I know whether it's a healthy concern versus a real demonic or wrong fear? Well, fear has torment. I mean, you can have wisdom to do something, to take precautions, but it's not tormenting. It's just, yeah, good idea. Good thing to do. But fear has fear doesn't stop there. Fear has hoops, and you're always worried, always, and it produces torment. And you got to spiritually discern that. Okay, this isn't just a healthy precaution anymore. I can't get sleep. I can't focus. I can't think of what I'm doing. I got the hook in my mouth, and I'm getting wig-wagged. That's what we can be free from. So how to cast your cares on the Lord, how to get the hook out of your mouth, and these are some important things. And we're going to make some important distinctions this morning, too, especially as Word of Faith people, because sometimes we get part of this right, but we don't necessarily get the whole thing right, and we can kind of go around with that hook still in our mouth. But I want to make sure that we really look at the Word, look at the words of the Word, divide the Word correctly, and see what the Word has to say about really casting our cares on the Lord, getting free from those wrong suggestions that we have taken into ourselves. Step number one in casting our cares on the Lord, number one is realizing that God really cares for you. This goes to the love of God. And you know, the love of God is such an important starting point when you are going to begin to trust God. Because before you cast your cares in the Lord, before you entrust yourself to somebody and begin to take steps of faith, you are going to really take those steps as you really know and are aware of His love for you and His care for you. When you are convinced God loves you and He really cares for you, you are going to be a lot more motivated to take those steps of faith. God really cares for you. The passage here in 1 Peter chapter 5 puts it this way: therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amplified in that verse 7. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you, I love that, watchfully. Again, we said that word care, you know, when you actually kind of look it up and in the actual Greek, it's, you know, in this case, I think it's the tense is marina, you know, just talking about taking thought. That first word that you see here in verse 7, casting all your care on Him, that is merima, that's you, the care you've taken upon Him, for He cares for you. That's actually a completely different word. It's melo. He cares for you. In other words, this is the one case where that word care is not the marina that we're talking about. It's different. He cares. God isn't marina here. He is melo. It means to be of interest. It matters. Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. It matters to Him. It's important to Him. And I just kind of love how the Amplified here really blows it out, because it's really well done. He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. It matters to him. In other words, that care that you're casting upon him, he cares. He's interested in it. Not because it's perplexing him as much as it's perplexing you. You know? He cares because he cares about you. He's not perplexed by the things we're perplexed. In other words, if I'm casting a care, if I've got a worry or an anxiety, there's something I don't know. There's something, information I don't have. There's something that might happen. There's a concern. God isn't concerned in that way. He cares for you. All right? He is interested in you. He cares. His interest is for you. And so as you're dealing with things and you're dealing with that, the act of casting your cares on him, he cares for you. He's looking at you like we talked about this morning in worship. You're like that little fish in the palm of his hand. He knows you completely, totally, sees through you, and he cares for you, intimately cares. You know, and I've shared this before, just a way to kind of sometimes spark the reality of how much God cares for me and loves me. It's amazing. We've got our dog Sam now. He'll be 9 years old this July, and without fail, at 3:30, when the kids come through that door, he is going to be barking and wagging his tail and just be all over him. Just excited, like clockwork, 3:30. At 3:30 in the afternoon after the kids come home from school. Just excited and barking and da-da-da-da-da. And I remember the Lord just challenging me, if you can just have faith enough to believe that I care for you every bit as much as your dog cares for your kids when they walk through the door. I'm thinking, See, because we can kind of get ethereal when we talk about the care and the love. It kind of tilts and, you know, you can't. How do you connect with it? He cares for you affectionately, watchfully. I had a teacher once kind of just illustrate this to me once. She said, you know, when you're going before the throne of grace, don't see God as busy. You got to see, when you're going before God with your cares, you got to see him looking right at you, right in the eye, saying, I've got all the time in the world for you. My day planner is completely empty. Just me and you. God can do that when you're coming to him with your cares. He's not like people. We all have our plans and schedules, and he isn't like that. He is just totally, he has unleashed his deity to serve and to bless and to be there for you. And it's very important, before you ever start casting your cares on the Lord, to realize that he really cares for you. He is available. You are not distracting his day a bit. To get that in your heart, what is that? It really gets to the love of God. Just how much God really loves you. He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Just because I, Ed House, as a human being, don't have the capacity to do that with, you know, millions and billions of people, doesn't mean God can't. He does, and he can, and he does. And I'm one of them in his hand. And so we're talking about believing, number one, that he cares for you affectionately. He cares about you. Jesus put it like this. The scripture's come up a few times already. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, we're not talking about casting cares or anything right now. We're just talking about the heart of God as it relates to us having cares. His heart is this. Come unto me. All who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I just love that. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Now, think about this. There are a lot of reasons why you could be laboring and be heavy laden. Things that people have done to you, things that you've done. He doesn't get specific here, does he? He's not calling for victims. He's calling for guilty people, innocent people. It doesn't matter whether you are right or you're wrong. The qualifier is just that you're heavy laden. So whether there's guilt, whether there's shame, whether there's frustration, if you're heavy laden, you qualify. There's rest here. Care It's a very general, broad term, but very important to realize if I'm caring, if I'm weighted down, he says, come on me. What are we talking about? He really cares for us. This is the language of somebody who really cares for us. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Cares, worry is a heavy yoke. It's a heavy yoke. Torment is a heavy yoke. And we see the heart of God here is that we find rest for our souls. You notice he didn't even say the answer to your prayer. He didn't even say the wisdom that you needed, the money that you wanted. He said, rest for your soul. Does God answer prayer? Does he meet our needs? Yes, he does. But you're not coming to him at this point for stuff. You're coming to him to find rest for your soul. And from that place of rest, he can begin to lead you into those paths of righteousness. You begin to see things. You can stay in faith. But first things first, rest for your souls. And what we see here is this is the heart of our Lord. He doesn't want us to be burdened down. He doesn't want us to be loaded down with care. So again, one of the things that we have to realize is that, you know, God wants us to be free. He wants us to have rest for our souls. So realizing first off again that God really cares for us. It's kind of another way of saying too, you know, believing again, God is. I'm going to cast my care on the Lord. I believe he is. I believe he's there. By faith, I believe he is. And as I begin to verbalize my care, I believe he's there. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I'm believing that he really, really cares for me. Next, I just really want to get into some specifics here as we, you know, on how to cast your cares on the Lord. Okay, this is very important. And again, I want to clarify some things that are very important as we, especially as faith people, cast our cares on the Lord and realize that there are some things that we need to do, you know, according to the Word of God, according to the full counsel of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 8 says this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Here again is verse 6 in the Amplified. "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition," that means definite requests, "with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God." Okay? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is basically another way of saying, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He goes on to say, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You can see continuity between the three passages of Scripture we looked at here, between what Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In other words, you're taking those ladens, that labor and whatever you're ladened with, and you're putting it at his feet, and he's going to give you rest. Peter says, casting the whole of your cares on him, for he cares for you. And then, of course, you see Paul saying, "Be anxious for nothing, but let your request be known unto him, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So we see this transaction that takes place in these various passages of Scripture here. The way Peter puts it, his care being reciprocated back to me when I cast my care on him. Jesus said he's going to give me rest when I lay down my burdens. And the Apostle Paul saying the peace of God is going to come as I'm anxious for nothing but let my request be known unto God. So this is how, again, ultimately, we want to try to get the hook out of our mouth. We want to get free from the thing that we've taken hold of. Now, we've known this, preached it, taught it, and have enjoyed some freedom to some varying degrees, I'll say, as it relates to Philippians 4, 6 through 8. But here's where I really kind of want to bring a distinction. When you are praying Philippians 4 and 6, it's very important to realize that this is not a confession of faith. Okay. In other words, I'm going to kind of go through some of these scriptures interchangeably. In other words, you could put it this way. Peter doesn't say, casting his promises upon him, for he cares for you. And he says, casting your care on him. This is where we can miss it sometimes as faith people. Say, I got a situation. Say, I got a care. It's a relationship issue. It's a person that I'm dealing with. And it's a frustrating deal. I don't know how to deal with it. You know, I feel like if I do something, it's going to be mistaken one way or the other. And then I've got maybe some suggestions. And so I've got a relationship issue that I'm dealing with. Now, I could go before the Lord and I could say, I thank you, Lord. I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I thank you, Lord, that as I keep my mind stayed on you, I'm going to have perfect peace. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, I thank you that I have perfect peace and I am free and I'm going to be spiritually minded. I'm going to be life and peace. And this situation is not going to bother me anymore. In Jesus' name, thank you, thank you, thank you. I have not cast my care on the Lord. Sometimes when we go to cast our cares on the Lord, we don't cast our cares on the Lord. We tell God what we think He wants to hear. We think He wants to hear our confession of faith. He doesn't. He does later with the Thanksgiving part. All right? It comes, but it's not the first thing. Don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving. Again, I'm going to put a few of these together. Peter, casting your care upon him, all your anxieties, once and for all, for he cares for you. Right? I'm not casting a confession of faith here. I'm casting the care on him. As long as I've just made a confession of faith, I still have the hook in me. I'm swimming around with the confession of faith with the hook in me. What is casting? That word literally casting, it means to throw. I'm throwing something. I'm taking that initial suggestion that was suggested to me, that I took the bait, I took care, worried, and I'm going to unhook from that thing. I'm not going to just make a confession of faith on top of it right now. I'm going to make a confession of faith. In other words, that thing's hooked me. I'm wigwagging. I'm thinking this. I'm wondering about this. I'm confused. I'm wondering. I'm going to cast the care. I'm going to make definite request regarding this thing. In other words, I'm not going to go before the Lord right now and make a bunch of faith confessions at this point. I'm going to go before the Lord right now and say, Father, this is a difficult situation. It seems like no matter what I do, I'm wrong. I love this person. I care about them. And I know I've made mistakes. I know they've made mistakes. And Lord, I just pray that you just show me how to reconcile this situation. I don't want to be angry all the time at them. And yet I find myself, I'm angry and I'm frustrated and it's not right. I know that I'm supposed to forgive. I know that it's not right there. But Father, it's a care. It's a weight. It's a concern of future. It's a concern of what could go wrong. It's, you know, sometimes I'll do right things and it's good and it works for a while, but other times I'll try to do the right thing and then it's mistaken and it's wrong. And, you know, and I realize that, you know, there's some fear, there's torment, but all I know, God, is I want to be free from this. It's a care. It's burning me down. I desire to have peace with this person. I desire to just, to really have reconciliation and wholeness, Father. I just show me where I can change. Show me what I can do different. All I know is that I love you. I love this person. I just want it to be right again, whatever that means or however that looks. And I know they said things and done this, but I just, here it is, Father God. Everything, what I've done, what they've done, the concerns, the cares, the what it could go. I don't really know what to do. I can't do anything. I've tried. I need you to do something with this. I need you to take care of it. I need you to help me. God, just take this thing. I all these things, I just, there. I throw it. It's yours. It's in your court. It's on you, God. It's on you. Now with thanksgiving, I can say, praise God. Whew, thank you, Lord. By faith, I thank you for the peace that passes my understanding. And I just yield to it, and I just receive it now by faith. You've heard the story. I don't have to rehash it in my head. I just let you know it, Lord. There it is. If there's anything else I need to pray out regarding, just show me what it is. But just what's in my soul is out. It's on you. It's on you, Father. And now I do stand by faith with thanksgiving, knowing, Lord, that he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world, that love never fails, and that you're for me, and that you love me. And I just thank you for bringing healing and reconciliation, Father. And, you know, Philippians 4:8 goes on to say, as a follow-through to that command, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just. Okay, Father, here I go. I'm just, help me to remind me, Holy Spirit, as that thing would come back, to just stay true, pure, just, good report, lovely. That's where I'm going with it, Father. That hook is staying out of my mouth. That ball is in your court. And I'm finding rest for my soul right now. And I do it with thanksgiving. I know that you're faithful. I know you're faithful to me. What I just did was I just verbalized, just an example, of casting a care on the Lord. I could do that same thing to a person. Dump on another person. It doesn't have the spiritual power and release and import that it does when you do it to God. You believe he is. I'm not rattling off here. I believe he is. And the greatest evidence that you have as a believer that he is when that peace that passes your understanding comes into your heart and mind. And the enemy comes up with this little suggestion again, and it's like, it's over on him. I've already verbalized it to God. But you can stay with this stuff in your head for years, spouting faith confessions without ever casting your care on the Lord. You got to cast. Didn't say to cast the promise. Cast the care. Throw whatever it is that you took. Satan suggested the thought. I took the thought, and now I'm throwing the thought. Not the promise. The thought. And then in a follow-through, with thanksgiving, according to his word, and with spiritual mindedness, that thing stays off of me. But first things first, I got to cast the care. And when you begin to get good at casting the care on the Lord, you find that care has a lot more forms than that relationship issue. What did he say? I'm going to back up. All your anxieties, your worries, your concerns. When you learn that that place is there to just verbally, you know, like sometimes you'll see those movies, permission to speak freely, sir. Granted. They may regret it later, but they grant it. And what does that mean? The underling officer can tell his superior what he really thinks, what he really feels. Well, this isn't where you have a fist in God's face and you're berating, but you have permission to speak freely, to speak what's on your heart, to speak the care, whatever it is, to cast it, to throw it, to make definite request, and to ask God for his help and grace and time. There is something about verbalizing that, that it gets the hook out from under your mouth and literally gets it into his corner. And it's an amazing thing. It can come back, but it's like, no, I've talked to God about that. It's not like I just had, when you just do your confession of faith about that, but you've never really talked to God about it, still it's a hold on you. But there is something about when you really begin to talk to God and articulate, cast the care on him. You know that he knows because you've talked to him about it. There's a freeing thing about that. It is important to cast your cares on him. And again, this doesn't just work. Anxiety isn't just in the area of a situation. This works great in the area of temptation. when you're dealing with temptation. We all deal with temptation, but yet we know it's common to man. And God is faithful to make the way of escape. I have found a lot of my escapes in temptation at that same secret place. Oh God, it's like this one weight and sin that so easily besets me. Why, God? I just feel like if I was free from this, I'd be just a spiritual giant. Frustrating, God. I just want to be free. Everything in my being is wrong. It's contrary. God, I just know. I know your strength is bigger. I know your power is greater. God, I just need your help right now. I don't want to be weak. I want to be strong. Help me, Lord, to be strong. The Bible says he was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. And he is able to run to the cry of those who are being tempted. Where is God? He's waiting to run to your cry. It's not as where is God? Where's your cry? Give him something to run to. That's a form of humbling yourself under his mighty hand. When you confess your dependence upon him, I need you. Oh, God, I know what's right and what's wrong. See, that's what the Bible says in Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against flesh. They're contrary one to the other. So you can't do the things that you would. That causes anxiety. And go right back to that place. Doesn't have to be some, it's amazing how flexible this is. A lot of times when we locate people, we'll say, oh yeah, they're religious, are they Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist? Yeah, but do you have a personal relationship with God? Well, this is where you have a personal relationship with God. That's right. It's not a phrase to locate people spiritually. It's when you talk to God personally about the things that are going on you. What does it look like in real life when you take every thought captive and bring it into the obedience of Christ? That means that there's no feeling or thought that's excluded from your talking with God. It's when you begin to verbalize those thoughts to him in prayer that you begin to take them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And you don't have to forethink a bunch of confession stuff ahead of time. Lord, I'm seeing this, I'm thinking this. It's amazing how you can just begin to venture out there, beginning to bring it into peace, and the Holy Spirit will show you those scriptures. But it's a good thing because it's a dialogue. You're communicating to God. He's communicating back to you, and you're taking those thoughts. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that is. But there's a dialogue. There's intimacy. There's communicating. And if you keep them bottled up and all you're doing is speaking faith confessions on top of it, you are going to stay isolated and hurt. But when you let God into that chamber of your soul, bringing every thought into captivity, that's just prayer. Talking out. That suggestion. Well, Father, that's what you can, the old expression about nipping something in the bud before it becomes an issue. It's a great way. Suggestion. Every thought into captivity, the obedience to Christ. Okay, Father, got this suggestion, this thought. Yeah, that's not right, is it? Yeah, right. You said to forgive even as, so that wouldn't be right. Or to do that, that won't be right. But when you get used to having that candid relationship with God, fear is no longer isolating effect. This is what keeps, I like to put it, this is what brings God into the room. There's just something about the presence of God right there. He's there. And when you just have that, that's where the casting of the cares really takes. And you get thought. Now, it's not that you can't ever go back. Yes, you can. You can go back and meditate and be carnally minded and produce the same fear if you keep your mind on it. But when you've really, just on purpose, talked to God about some things, it's harder for that thing to get a hold of your mind again because you've cast the care of it over on him. It's like anything else. You can get free from an addiction, truly free, and then get addicted again, but it takes a little while. You got to retrain your flesh to say, this is really fun, and get addicted all over again. Remember, my dad was a smoker early on in his life. He got free from it. His brothers got free from it the same time he did. They didn't really know much about smoking like we know today. But then some of his other brothers got back into it again. Didn't smoke for 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden got smoking and stuff. So you can be truly free and get back. Same thing with cares. You can get truly free from a care, and Satan will come back and try to get you back into it. But there is a strength when you've really talked it out with God. Sometimes, again, like we say, we don't always cast our cares in the Lord. We tell God what he thinks he wants to hear. And does he want to hear a confession of faith? Yeah, he does. Does he want to hear us affirm the word of God, declare the word of God? Yes, he does. But not to the exclusion of actually casting our care on the Lord. Talk it out. This is where your walk with God is going to get intimate. And you're not going to be as nervous around trying to impress him. Jesus told a beautiful story about that. He said, two men went up to pray. One went up, Pharisee, and he said, I thank you, Father, that I'm not like other sinners. I tithe of all that I own. I fast twice a week. Went on and on and on. And the other guy, the Bible says, he just beat his chest and said, forgive me, God, a sinner. It took all of 3 seconds. He said, that man went away justified. God isn't giving points for poetry and how you say things. He's just looking at a heart. Cry. Don't be afraid or ashamed or embarrassed of your care. Let him know. Cast it on him. He's told us to do it. Casting the care. Whatever it is that you hooked up with is what you're going to throw and unhook as you give it back to him. So, we need to realize that that as we cast our cares upon him, that there's going to be some specific steps. Number one, casting our cares on the Lord, we got to realize, first of all, God really cares for us. I just love to think it was our teacher, Patsy Caminiti. She was here actually a few months back. She just said, when you go to that throne room of grace, you need to see God just looking full attention on you, clean appointment book. You are just the only thing going in his day. You got to see God like that. He has the ability to do that. And it's true. He cares for you affectionately, watchfully. Believe he is, and he's there, and he loves you. And as you do that, you know, if that's the person, it's amazing how easy it is. I mean, even with people. When you're talking to a friend who you know gets you, it's amazing how easy it is to really go to those places in your soul and your mind and really express how you feel. That's what we got to believe about God, so we'll do the same thing. We'll get that intimate with him. There's healing in it. I can't explain it totally. Other than when you just obey the word of God, you're blessed. And you just see him as that special friend. You go to those nth degrees of your soul and bearing your soul out to him. That's the casting the care. Then there's something about it. You've got it off your chest on God. In that direction, it brings a peace that passes your understanding. In fact, when Peter says casting, he starts out by saying, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your cares upon him. In other words, caring is a form of pride, self-dependence. When you get past yourself and say, nope, you're that soul partner, close-knit friend, God, I can get that real with you to let you know. And as you're going there and you're doing things, the Holy Ghost will correct you if you're getting off. He'll kind of show you, okay, but it'll be a Holy Ghost thing. You know what I mean? It's a good thing. It's not a condemnation thing. It's a good thing. You know, the Father God has a corrective nature. The Bible says we had people in the natural who punished us according to their pleasure, but he according to for our profit. God corrects you for your profit. And even in those places of just bearing your soul, it's amazing how God can correct you in ways that are for your profit, that help you. And you know it, and you know him. And you can say, one thing about that, I know I've talked to God about it. I'm not hiding anything from him, not isolating it. And again, like I said, when you've done that, man, you make those declarations of faith. You declare who you are in Christ. You do it with thanksgiving. Keep your mind on things that are true, honest, pure, just, lovely. I'm not saying to not do those things. We need all those things. But we just can't forget the first part, casting the actual care. As we do that, peace that passes understanding. Keep our heart and mind. Follow through with thanksgiving, casting the whole of your, make a different request, cast the whole of your care, follow through with thanksgiving, and then stay spiritually minded. So you're thinking on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, because he cares for you. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Again, it's one of those things where we maybe feel a little sorry for ourselves for having to have to do this, to not worry, to not care, but boy, we are so thankful that you set it up this way. We are so thankful and grateful that this isn't just a spiritual responsibility. This is a spiritual freedom. It's a release. It's the way we can come unto you and take those heavy burdens and lay them at your feet. And in return for that, you give us rest. In return for that, you give us a peace that passes our understanding. To no longer be wigged and wagged back and forth by our understanding, because there's a peace that is greater than our understanding. It humbles our understanding, and we're content simply knowing that you know that we've expressed the whole of our care to you. Oh, Lord, it's just so good to know you like that. I pray that all of our friendships with you would just deepen, just be more intimate, that we would just realize that we can come unto you when we're heavy laden. Whether we were the good guy or the bad guy, it doesn't matter. You just say, come, and you'll find rest for your soul. Grace and mercy to help in your time of need. Father, help us to keep our hearts clear and free, to come to you in those areas of temptation, to realize that it's not just us doing our own thing, but you're right there anyway, that we can just begin to bear our soul. We can begin to bear the anxiety of the temptation. And there's a peace that passes our understanding for that too. We can bear any anxiety, every thought into captivity to Christ, every thought directed in prayer, every thought acknowledging you. And there's just tremendous healing, restoration, strength, peace that passes our understanding. Oh, we're so thankful. You're a good, loving Heavenly Father. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, you're a good Father. You love me more than I could possibly know. I believe by faith you are for me. You are the one person above all human friends I can completely confide in. You're the ultimate safe place where I can find rest for my soul, peace, correction, direction, love. Thank you, Father. There is nothing in my soul that I have to withhold from you. I can tell you all. And there is mercy. And there is grace for my time of need. And I find rest for my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.